Under the focus of, I've titled the sermon, if you will, Five Ways to Bless Your Church. There's something I think is important to remember. We talk about this quite often, that the church is brought together by God for a purpose. And we see the church in the New Testament explained in two different ways. One is the global church, that all believers across the world that are brought together by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus are the church. But then we also see that the church is manifested, if you will, in the local congregation. The New Testament just assumes that these letters and these instructions would go out, went to local churches. All the letters were written to local churches. The context is within the local church. And so we see that God has this grand purpose of redeeming people through faith in His Son, and then not leaving them to themselves, not leaving them to struggle with life, not leaving them to be alone, but bringing them together with other imperfect brothers and sisters to be a means of God's grace to each other. That in one of the great responsibilities that you and I have as brothers and sisters in Christ is to be a means of God's grace to each other. And in some ways, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, churches in our culture today don't have a very great name. Let's just be honest about it. We're not usually known for being a people that are serious about being a means of grace. And we're usually known for people that bicker and argue and split up over all sorts of silly things. And that could not be farther from what God wants from His people. Nobody wants to go to a place that makes them feel miserable. How many of you guys have people in your life? Let's just be honest. There are people in your life that you have to do. Maybe it's at work or maybe it's even a friend. And it better not be me, right? they just wear you out. Like they're constantly negative and everything is hard and they just wear you out. And how often do you look forward to being around those people? Very seldom, right? Usually we want to escape them. Like that's why we have call. That's why they invented caller ID. So right? So you can avoid answering the phone. No, do not. I'm not home. Remember that when we were kids, you know, we didn't have all the fancy stuff now. So I was the caller ID, right? Answer the phone for my dad. If it's that, I'm not home, right? Don't do that, parents. Don't make your kids lie, but that's what we did, right? But we avoid because we don't have time to be around people that make us feel miserable, do we? And unfortunately, let's be honest. Every one of us at some point has been on both sides of that when it comes to the church. We have been to church and it's made us feel miserable. And we have probably been used by the enemy to be a means of that to somebody else. Well, today I want to look, as we look at the book, at the letter of Paul to Philemon, I want to show you five ways to bless the church. How you and I, this is not one of these sermons, as you guys know I don't preach them anyway, that I'm pointing out saying you guys need to do this. This is us together. And I think we see in this letter some clear ways in which we can do this. And I stumbled on this as I was reading Paul's letter to Philemon a few weeks back. And I've read this letter many times, and I've actually preached through this before. But this time I saw a theme in it, if you will, that I hadn't really seen before. And I'm not trying to take it out of its context. But in this, I saw a theme within this letter that seemed very clear. That in it, we have helpful instructions on how a Christian can be a blessing to their church. And by the way, when I say that, and especially if you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about this building. We don't talk about the facilities. We don't talk about me or the elders. I'm talking about you. We're thankful that we have the resources that we have, that the Lord has allowed us to have the facilities, that the Lord has allowed us to have all these things. But these things are not the church. They are tools that God has given us in order to accomplish His purposes. If this building got wiped out tomorrow by a tornado, we would meet in a grass field if we need to. It's not about that. So when I say how to be a blessing to the church, I'm not talking about how to be a blessing to some weird organization that you don't know how to define. When I say these are ways to be a blessing to the church, I'm saying these are a way to be a blessing to those who are sitting to your left and to your right and to your front and to your back. That God's purpose is that we would be that. Now we see in this letter, by the way, that Paul... or Philemon was an uplifting person. When Paul thought about Philemon, he thought about the joy and the comfort that Philemon had given to others. In chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." I think, for me, that makes me kind of want to be like Philemon. I want to be someone that brings joy and comfort to others. Let's be honest. We get enough frustration and grief from the world. We certainly don't need it from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? When we come and gather, we should want to be a blessing. To be, as Paul talks about Philemon, a refreshment to others. Are we that? Think about that for a minute. Are we known? Like, let's say just among us together. Are we striving to be a refreshment to each other? Are we striving to care, to be known? Are we striving for somebody to sit back and, you know, when I think of Scott, I think of the joy and the encouragement and the refreshment I get. How about when somebody comes and visits with us and we hope that they come and they join in our worship and they feel loved and cared for and they hear the gospel and that they want to become part of the family? Do they walk out of this room saying, "I feel uplifted, I feel encouraged, I feel refreshed"? That's what Paul is saying about Philemon. He said, "Man, I have derived so much joy and comfort from you because of the way that you have refreshed, the way that you have cared for it." That makes me want to be like Philemon. And that's what Jesus says we should be as well. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." What Jesus is saying is that the ministry of being a blessing, the ministry of being a refreshing is so important to Jesus that he wants us to know that the reward, that there is a great reward for those who give it. That if you want to know what it looks like to reach the end faithfully in Christ and hear the coveted words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in many ways it's connected to this. How well are you known for being a refreshment to your brothers and sisters? And Philemon, I think, in here helps us, because what's not helpful is to say, "Hey, go and be an encouragement. Hey, go and be a refreshment to your brothers and sisters," but then just leave it at that and don't say, "Well, how do I do that?" And in this letter, I think we see 5 ways to do that. So I want you guys to prepare yourselves. If you take notes, you can open it up and we'll go through this. But let's pray, and then let's look in this letter, and I want to point out to you 5 ways to bless your church. Let's pray. Father, would you make your word real to us today? Would you begin to work in those of us who need softening? Would you encourage us that we might be encouragers? Would you refresh us today in your word that we might long to share that with others? Father, would you make your word real? And as I always, Father, I ask that you ensure that what I have prepared for today is not tainted by my failure and my flesh, but is a worthy representation of your word and what you'd have me bring to your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is going to be, this will be a short one for the year, right? Beginning of the year, we'll keep it short. What do you say? Sound good? It's my first try to be encouraging and refreshing to you, right? So let's look. The first thing, as we think about how do we bless a church? Well, the first thing I think is very, very important we see is in verse 5. Paul writes, when he says, I thank my God when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus. This is something that we can't bypass. If you genuinely want to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters, if you genuinely want to be a blessing to the church, then it starts with loving and trusting Jesus. Love the Lord, all you saints, the psalmist writes in 31:23. 1 John 4:8. John says that God is love, and therefore love is from God. And so that means that only when we love and we trust God will we have the resources in ourselves to love our neighbors as ourselves. The true, genuine love that God calls us to is impossible in the flesh. It has to derive its power and its motivation and its effectiveness out of living in the love and joy and trust of Christ. That as God transforms us, as we have trusted Jesus and we have been reborn and given a new life, as we seek to grow in that, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, as we're going through 2 Peter, as we begin to live and exercise the wonderful blessings that God has granted us in Christ, the outflow of that is genuine love and encouragement. If we're not first and foremost focused on loving and trusting Jesus, we have no hope in being a blessing to others. It is our profound love for and trust in the Lord Jesus that will energize our brothers and sisters the most. Only the water Jesus has quenches the thirst for the human soul. If we think that we have anything greater to offer than to put on a pedestal the glorious grace of God, then we have missed the point. If I am to be a blessing to you, it is to be grounded first and foremost in my open and exciting and purposeful sharing of my hope and trust in Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, you can't love people. But if you love Jesus, you will love people. You know why? Because Jesus loves people. God proved his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. If we want to begin to be a blessing to the church, to each other, and dare I say, carrying it outside of these doors into the community around us, it must start with loving and trusting Jesus. It must start there. Then he continues for our second thing. He says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Now, some people wonder, when Paul writes this for the saints, is he talking about, you know, some view in which certain people are elevated and they're beatified and they become a saint? No. What he's saying in the saints is he's talking about you. It's the sainthood of all believers, that in Christ, when we come to God in faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given the righteousness of Christ and we have become the saints of God. So we are both simultaneously sinners who are wrestling and trying to fight down this road, but we are also saints that are made holy and righteous before God by virtue of Christ and Christ alone. And Paul says here that Philemon, one of the ways that he is so thankful for Philemon and he's encouraged by him is not only that he has a love for Christ, but it is apparent that Philemon has a special love for the church. He has a special love for his brothers and sisters in Christ. But he does it not just, it's obvious that he does it not just in word. You know, one of the cliches of the world is talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, but deeds usually aren't. That's why John says in John 3:18, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. You can't begin to be a blessing until you begin to love the saints in the way that Christ has called us to love the saints. Another thing we talked about in Sunday school this morning is in many ways, the old King James, which gets a bad rap often, gets the word for love better than our newer translations. Some of you guys will remember, you grew up maybe with the King James, and you know that often love is translated as charity. Charity. I think that's a very good and fitting use of our translation of the word agapeo. It's charity. It's not about a feeling. It's not about emotion. It is an active and willingness service. What does it mean to give charity? It means to give of yourself, to give of what you have for the good of others, isn't it? And this is what Paul is talking about in Philemon. I know your charity towards the brothers and sisters. You are known. I am so encouraged by you, Philemon, because you love and trust God. And that is manifested in your charity towards the saints. So if we are to be a blessing, if we are to be a refreshment to each other, then it must include not just our the way we handle ourselves and the way we act and our affections toward each other, but it also must go beyond that. Let's refresh the saints in our lives by very practically meeting the needs of each other with whatever resources God has given us. Yes, we're going to give them the words of life. But let's also love them by laying down our lives for their joy. While we bear the responsibility for each other. This is what Paul writes to the church in Philippi. When he encourages them, if there's any comfort and any sharing in the Spirit, if you have been made right in Christ, care for each other, love each other, be concerned for each other, take care of each other. It's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the one who doesn't just talk. Jesus didn't stand up in heaven and go, well, I love them. No, he proved his love in what he did. Paul says, Philemon, you're such an encouragement to me. Because Because not only do I know that you love and you trust the Lord, that He is your only hope, you know that there's nothing that you can do to make you right before God, and you have been saved by God's grace and His grace alone through the work of Christ Jesus. But man, I love you. I'm so encouraged by you because you are given of yourself for your brothers and sisters. If you want to be a blessing to the church, give of yourself. Give of what you have. For each other. I'm not talking about offerings. I'm not talking about that stuff. We let the Lord take care of that. I'm talking about the way that you live with each other. Is it your purpose? Is it your goal to look and to say, how may I be a means of help to the needs of my brothers and sisters? I don't have to go through the church to do that. I don't have to call Pastor Scott and say, hey, I notice a family has help, and can I go? No, you just go, and you fill the need. It's what we saw in the early church, isn't it? That no one was in need, because as a need arose, somebody what? They stood up and they said, hey, I can handle this. They were a blessing to each other. And by the way, that was infectious to the world in the first century. As the world looked at these people who were completely insane in their view, but yet they were taking care of each other in a way that nobody had ever seen before. And it caught fire. If you want to be a blessing to the church, you must have charity to the saints. That's the second. Now the third is to share your faith with the church. Look at verse 6. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Talk is cheap, but it's priceless when through it we share real faith. Sharing our faith is not just evangelism. I'm not talking about going out and evangelizing. There's certainly part of it, but that's not all it is. We share our faith every time we point someone to the source of our hope. So 1 Peter chapter 3, 15 tells us that we should be always prepared to give a reason for the hope in which we have. So when I say that you share your faith with the saints, I'm not saying that we run around and say, repent, you booger, because you're a sinner and you need Jesus. I'm saying that we daily, we encourage each other by sharing the glorious things that God has done in us and through us and for us. We look at families that are hurting. And we long to go to them and say, I've been where you've been. But let me tell you what Jesus did. We look at moms who are struggling with young kids and feel like their life is getting away from them. Feel like maybe they even lost a part of themselves. And we go to them and we don't tell them how to do it. We don't tell them everything they're doing wrong. No, we go to them and we say, hey, I've been there. Jesus carried me through. He gave me patience when I didn't have it. He gave me grace when I really, really needed it. That's what sharing faith is. That I want my life, the glorious work that God is doing in me, in my successes and my failures, to be an open book to be used for your good. You want to be a blessing to the church? Share that type of faith. Go out of your way to encourage your brothers and sisters. Don't go and tell them how to fix it all. Don't go and tell them everything they're doing wrong. Go and tell them the wonderful things that Jesus has done in you to help you through those things. Share your faith. That's the third. The fourth, look at verse 13. This is an interesting one, and I'll explain it. In verse 13, Paul, by the way, Paul is writing this letter to Philemon on behalf of his bondservant, on behalf of his slave, Onesimus. And Onesimus has fled Philemon. And he ran away. And he was a sinner. But he ended up coming, crossing paths with Paul, and he was redeemed. God saved him by the gospel. God saved him. And now Paul is writing Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, asking Philemon to do something. Considering that Philemon had a rightful call on Onesimus, that he owed him, that he could have demanded that he come and go back to serving in his home. And look what Paul says in verse 13. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. What Paul is saying here is Paul is asking Philemon to give of his family member in this sense, to give of what is his, to give it up for the means of service to God's kingdom. Onesimus has come to Paul, has been redeemed by God, and now has been useful to Paul in his kingdom service, in going on his missionary journey and carrying the gospel. And he is being useful. And one of the things that I think, if we want to be a blessing to the church, we need to take heed here and understand that we are called to free ourselves and our family members to serve the kingdom. That we need to be intentional about saying, how am I going to free my family for ministry? When we think of ministry, we usually think of what I do. We think, oh, well, he's in the ministry. I really despise that view. So I don't use that very often. Because, by the way, the scriptures don't talk about ministry that way. The scriptures don't talk about ministry being a professional pastoral office. What ministry is, how ministry is defined in the scriptures, is what God does through the hearts of people who have been redeemed by Him, and now they go about to make their life's goal to affect the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you are in ministry. Don't for one second believe that ministry is my job. No, ministry is my glorious privilege, and so is it yours. But we have to be intentional. If we want to be a blessing, then we need to make sure that we do everything we can in our families. And I'm talking to you dads, by the way, because you should be the leaders that are trying to foster this. You need to find ways in which to free your family to do ministry, to serve. And I'm not just talking about serving in the church. Yes, we've talked about that a lot. We have lots of needs and for service. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the community and abroad. There's so many things that God's people should be involved in that are ministry opportunities to go, but they have to be freed. Somebody's got to say, well, I'm going to be intentional about this. I want to encourage my family, and I want to free them to be in ministry, to do stuff. Husbands, maybe that means that you need to take up some slack in your home so your wife has more freedom to do ministry. Maybe you need to find ways for you as a family with your children. You want to go find something. Maybe you go to the Hope Pregnancy Center, or maybe you go to the Cove House or the Soup Kitchen. Whatever it might be. There are a number of different things out there. You go find them. They're all over. If you need help find them, come find me and I'll help you find them. But if you want to be a blessing to the church, get into ministry. Free your family for ministry. So that's the third. First, we have love and trust Jesus. Second is love the saints. The third was share your faith with each other. The fourth is free your family and your family members to serve the kingdom. And then the fifth, look at verse 22. This is an interesting thing. Paul is assuming something here of Philemon. And as he is given instruction to Philemon on what to do, and he longs to come see him. And he says in verse 22, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me. For I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. I don't know, that seems like an odd half a thought, Scott, but here's what I mean. If you want to be a blessing to your church, then make your home an embassy for ministry. Make your home an embassy for Christ. The fact that Paul made this request says something about Philemon. Namely, that he showed hospitality without grumbling. Namely, that Paul knows that this man is somebody that opens his home to his brothers and sisters. And by the way, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are in this world. So as Christians, our homes are not, they're not castles. When people say, you know, a man's house is his castle. No. Our homes are not castles. Our homes are embassies. God has given them to us for the purpose of refreshing the saints and to help unbelievers become fellow citizens with the saints. Let's make our homes an oasis. That's what the gift of... By the way, when the scriptures say there are certain people that have the gift of hospitality and they do this and to an extreme level, and I know people like that man, they just have the gift. That they long to do that. And then some people sit there and say, well, I don't have to do that because I don't have the gift. Well, that's malarkey. Just because you don't have the gift of doing something that Christ has commanded doesn't mean that you just say, well, forget it. That's part of being believers, that we are hospitable. You know what, and by the way, you know what the gift of hospitality literally means? Is you accept people into your home. That's what it means. We like to try to go around the curve and try to soften it up. No, it literally means that we open up our home and we accept each other in. You want to be a blessing to your church? Open your home to each other. Sit at the dinner table together. As we like to say, get in each other's kitchen. Wonderful things happen when people take this acquaintance and move it in to their home. And by the way, not just the group of people that you typically, I mean, we all have that. Not everybody's going to have the same level of relationship as everybody else. That's just the reality, and that's okay. Not everybody's going to have the same level of friendship with everybody in the church. That's okay. It's really okay. But don't stop at that. Constantly try to make that broader. Be amazed how many times when you get somebody that you just don't know and, boy, you spend a couple hours at your home and you have a meal, how much you learn about them and how much they become an encouragement to you. You could start learning about, well, that's why they're not smiling all the time. You want to be a blessing? Love Jesus. Love each other. You want to be a blessing? Open your homes. Share your faith. Those are wonderful ways to be a blessing to the Lord. As we free our families. My longing for 2020 for Crestview is that becomes our battle cry, if you will. And we're a small church. That's okay. I look out today and most of us are here today. We have a few families I know that are sick and out, but most of us are here today. But you know what kind of effect you can have on this community? Just by all of us saying, how can I be a blessing today? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I care for my brothers and sisters? And watch. Watch what happens. Watch what happens to a community that has churches like that in it. Watch what happens when your neighbors who aren't believers see you caring and serving. Watch what happens in your own faith, in your own growth, when you get outside of yourself and devote yourself to the care of others. Watch what happens to your marriage when you begin to say, we are a partner for ministry. That's why God has brought us together as one flesh to accomplish the work that He has given us to do. Watch what happens in your children when you raise them up in an atmosphere that is all about using your home and all the resources that God has given you to bring Him glory through caring for others. Watch what happens. I don't know if that means like this church will grow big. It's not my concern. I have no control over how many people walk in those doors, and I don't fret over that. I can't control that. What I do know is if we do that, everybody that walks in these doors will be blessed. And isn't that our goal? To glorify God through blessing each other? Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, and I pray that this was clear today. I pray that my words have been helpful and been faithful to Your truth. And we know that, Father, we can have hope in doing all these things that You call us to, not because we are good, but because You are. And You have given us Your Son, our Lord, our God, and our Savior, who does not come and just lord it over us, but comes to us and calls us friend. A Lord and Savior who proves His love for us in not just His words alone, but in His action and His deeds. In providing all that You demand of us through His life and death and resurrection. We thank You for such a friend. May we be one in kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing this morning. If you need prayer, I ask you to come forward.